RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, and Focus News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian Olympic Council MUI says politicization of religion beyond haram. To encourage tourism, Sriwijaya Air flying to Southeast Maluku. Indonesian Religious Ministry invites foreign batch students. Now the news in details. Indonesian Ulema Council Deputy Secretary General Amir Shah Tambunan condemned politicization of religion practiced by certain groups. He said in Jakarta on Tuesday that politicization of religion is a blasphemy. Amir Shah added that politicization of religion for certain groups is beyond haram. He called on leaders to learn and practice religious values. Therefore, he said religion must not be used for political purposes. Amir Shah argues that religion cannot be separated from life. He went on saying that religion is a moral ethical foundation in every aspect of life, including politics. Islamic law expert Afifuddin Muhajir said during a seminar in Bondowoso, East Java, echoed Amir Shah's statement, saying that using religions for political purposes is prohibited in Islam. Afifuddin called on the public to remain optimistic in improving the condition of the country. Special envoy of the Indonesian President for the Middle East and Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, Dr. Alwi Shihab, during his working visit to Lahore, Pakistan, stated that Indonesia and Pakistan are two friendly countries with strong and productive cooperative foundation in various fields. The information from Indonesian Embassy in Islamabad received by Antara in Jakarta on Monday stated that the cooperation should be well utilized and developed to strengthen relationships and increase public awareness of both countries. In his visit to Lahore on December 20-21, 2017, Alwi Shihab shares a common view with Chief Minister of Punjab Province, Shahbaz Sharif, that Indonesia-Pakistan should continue to increase the intensity of bilateral relations. His duty as the President's special envoy to strengthen cooperation with the Muslim countries. According to him, both countries need to maintain and develop the spirit of friendship and brotherhood that has been built since the era of President Sukarno for the progress of both countries. Sriwijaya Air will officially operate its flights to and from Southeast Maluku Regency as of December 27, 2017. Sriwijaya Air representative Baltazar Aaron Snusi in Langur on Tuesday said it was confirmed that Sriwijaya Air will occur its first landing at Karol Satswitubun Airport, North Maluku on Wednesday after the airline fulfilled the entire administration. According to Baltazar Aaron Snusi, the inaugural flight will be made from Makassar, South Sulawesi, to Langur, the capital of North Maluku, vice versa. He said flights to and from Langur is a form of support for government's program which intensively developed the tourism sector in Indonesia. He asserted that the company has interested to Langur because it has a lot of natural beauty, maritime and culture. Besides to add the list of tourism destinations owned by Sriwijaya Air Group, the route is expected to increase the number of tourist arrivals to Indonesia, especially in Southeast Maluku. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. At least 5 active police and military generals will reportedly run in the upcoming simultaneous regional head election in 2018. Siti Zuhro, a political observer, with the Indonesian Sciences Institute, LIPI, said the general's participation in election is a new phenomenon in Indonesia. According to Siri, most military personnel who run in regional heads election are retired. Siti also said on Monday in Jakarta that political parties have failed to produce high-quality cadres. Therefore, they endorse active generals who have leadership skills and network. According to Siti, the phenomenon is alarming as the situation could cause manipulation. For instance, Siti Zuhro went on, there could be intimidation to vote for certain candidates or the national police could be reluctant in investigating disputes reported by the General Election Supervisory Agency. According to Siti Zuhro, the national police or the Indonesian military could lose their objectivity by supporting their personnel. Military Commander Marshal Hadi Cahyanto guaranteed that the Indonesian military would remain neutral, although military generals are participating in election. Director of Curriculum Facility, Institutional and Madrasah Students of Religious Affairs Ministry, Ahmad Umar, said the next year, the ministry will invite the best students from abroad to study at one of the Islamic educational institutions in Indonesia, namely Madrasah. Ahmad Umar also said it is an effort of the government to improve the quality and competitiveness of Madrasah students. Ahmad Umar explained, the ministry invites the best students from abroad to study in Madrasah Aliyah Negeri, MAN, in San Cendekia, the Islamic boarding institution at senior high school level. The madrasah is located in various places throughout Indonesia, directly fostered by the religious ministry. Ahmad Umar in Jakarta recently said to invite the best students from abroad is aimed to transform cultural and intercultural nation. Formerly, Indonesian always sends the best students abroad. Now it is time for foreign students to study in Indonesia so that it will restore the image of Indonesia as a country that actually has the best Islamic educational institution. The Indonesian Stock Exchange stops its activities during the National Christmas Mass Leave today on Tuesday, December 26, 2017. As quoted through their official website on December 25th, that the Indonesian Stock Exchange will actively conduct its stock trades again on Wednesday. The official government mass leave refers to the rule that was formed by the Ministry of Religious Affairs, Minister of Manpower, and the Minister of Administrative Reform and Bureaucracy Reform. Not only that, the official government mass leave regulated under the Presidential Decree No. 18/2017 on mass leaves. The IDX day offs will be set after Bank Indonesia conducts a clearing or if the Indonesian government announces a specific day off. The IDX has once stopped its trading during the regional simultaneous election on February 15. Vice President Yusuf Kala at the time urged members of the public to use their rights to vote. As many as 9,333 inmates across the country receive remissions at Christmas. Law and Human Rights Ministry official Ma'mun, as quoted by Antara on Monday, said that 175 inmates were freed upon receiving remission. The ministry data shows that as of December 18, there were nearly 228,000 inmates in the country, with about 15,800 of them being Christians. The 9,333 inmates were considered eligible for remissions this year, based on administrative and substantive considerations as well as type of crime. Ma'mun said if an ambassador wants a remission, for instance, they must first obtain justice collaborator status. The length of remission received by inmates differed, depending on the length of sentence served, starting from 15 days minimum to 2 months maximum. Those who have served 6 months to a year may get 15 days remission. A month remission may be given to inmates who have served 1 to 3 years in prison, while those who serve at least 6 years can receive a 2 months remission. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawat.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you in our regular program, Commentary. The titles of today's commentary is Achievements and Challenges of Indonesia in International World. Ahead of a year-end, people usually begin to evaluate what has been achieved in 1 year. Achievements in 2017 could be the basis to achieve better results by 2018. Indonesia, especially in the implementation of its foreign policy, has noted various achievements. In 2017, some heads of state and government of friendly countries visited Indonesia. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, United States Vice President Mike Pence, and Saudi Arabian King Salman bin Abdulaziz Al Saud and President of Nauru, Baron Divavesi Waga, are part of some heads of state and government of friendly countries who had made a visit to Indonesia. While on his overseas trip, President Joko Widodo has held bilateral meetings with President of People's Republic of China Xi Jinping, Turkish President Erdogan, Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull, and United States President Donald Trump. One of the issues discussed in the bilateral meetings with various countries is cooperation in the field of peace. These bilateral visits and meetings prove the importance of Indonesia to international community. During 2017, Indonesia has also implemented several important things. In Southeast Asian region, Indonesia, along with Malaysia and the Philippines, plays a role in maintaining peace and regional stability to secure the waters of Sulu and Sulawesi in the bid to counter terrorism in Southeast Asia. Indonesia also took part in implementing humanitarian diplomacy to boost crisis that occurred in Rakhine, Myanmar. Another success is the successful hosting of the 10th Bali Democracy Forum. With the theme "Does Democracy Deliver?", Bali Democracy Forum consistently becomes a forum of international cooperation to achieve the goal of performing, say, promoting peace, democracy, and moderation in the Asia-Pacific region. On a global level, after President of the United States Donald Trump has decided Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, Indonesia encouraged Organization of Islamic Cooperation (IC) countries to have held extraordinary summit and brought the issue of Jerusalem and Palestine to United Nations Security Council. The achievements recorded in 2017 are certainly an added value for Indonesia to become a non-permanent member of the United Nations Security Council for the period 2019-2021. Hopefully, the support for Indonesia will continue to grow to be elected in the next session of the UN Security Council 2019. If elected with the status as a non-permanent member of the United Nations Security Council, Indonesia's credibility and access to issues of peace and security will surely increase. Indonesian focus, which contributes to creating peace and stability at the global level, will be accomplished. Efforts to create global cooperation in responding to a number of challenges will be more optimal, especially cross-border challenges such as terrorism, radicalization, and extremism. All of this might threaten the world peace and the achievement of the 2030 Development Agenda. In accordance with the mandate of the preamble of the 1945 Constitution, Indonesia must participate in implementing a world order based on independence, eternal peace, and social justice, and it is fully implemented by Indonesia. May Indonesia's support to be elected as a non-permanent member of the United Nations Security Council continue to grow. That's commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with 1991. The Supreme Soviet of the Soviet Union meets and formally dissolves the Soviet Union. The dissolution of the Soviet Union occurred on December the 26, 1991. It was a result of the Declaration No. 142H of the Supreme Soviet of the Soviet Union. The declaration acknowledged the independence of the former Soviet republics and created the Commonwealth of Independent States, or CIS, although five of the signatories ratified it much later or did not do so at all. On the previous day, Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev, the eighth and final leader of the Soviet Union, resigned, declared his office extinct, and handed over its powers, including control of the Soviet nuclear missile launching codes, to Russian President Boris Yeltsin. Move on now to 2004. The 9.1 until 9.3 magnitude Indian Ocean earthquake shakes northern Sumatra with a maximum Merkel intensity of 9 or violent. One of the largest observed tsunamis follows, affecting the coastal areas of Thailand, India, Sri Lanka, the Maldives, Malaysia, Myanmar, Bangladesh, and Indonesia. The 2004 Indian Ocean earthquake occurred at 00:58:53 UTC on December the 26th with the epicenter off the west coast of Sumatra, Indonesia, killing 230,000 until 280,000 people in 14 countries, mostly in Indonesia, and inundating coastal communities with waves up to 30 meters. And it was one of the deadliest natural disasters in recorded history. Indonesia was the hardest hit country, followed by Sri Lanka, India, and Thailand. The last is from 2004, Orange Revolution. The final run of election in Ukraine is held under heavy international scrutiny. The Orange Revolution was a series of protests and political events that took place in Ukraine from late November 2004 to January 2005. In the immediate aftermath of the runoff vote of the 2004 Ukrainian presidential election, which was claimed to be marred by massive corruption, voter intimidation, and direct electoral fraud. Kyiv, the Ukrainian capital, was the focal point of the movement's campaign of civil resistance, with thousands of protesters demonstrating daily nationwide. The democratic revolution was highlighted by a series of acts of civil disobedience, sit-ins, and general strikes organized by the opposition movement. A revote was ordered by Ukraine's Supreme Court for December 26, 2004. Under intense scrutiny by domestic and international observers, the second runoff was declared to be fair and free. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you in our regular program, Focused. The title of Focus today is Indonesia and Myanmar agree on cooperation on pharmaceutical business and medical devices. Indonesia and Myanmar continue to improve cooperation. More recently, the two countries have agreed on business cooperation in pharmaceutical and healthcare. PT Papros, a subsidiary of PT Rajawali Nusantara Indonesia, RNI, and Myanmar pharmaceutical company Medi Myanmar Group, signed a memorandum of understanding in Yangon, Myanmar on 21st of December. The signing of the MU was carried out by Managing Director PT Papros Barokah Sri Utami and Managing Director of Medi Myanmar Group, Dr. Wing Situ, and it was also attended by Indonesian Ambassador to Myanmar, Dr. Ito Sumardi. The ambassador welcomed this cooperation. He said that Papros cooperation is positive step, considering that as the country reached the highest economic growth in ASEAN in 2016 at 6.5%. According to World Bank report entitled East Asia and the Pacific Economic Update, Myanmar's own economy is predicted to rise to 6.9% in 2017 and 7.2% in 2018, up from 6.5% in 2016. This is in line with an increase in infrastructure spending, and the structural reforms will be able to bring about a lot of foreign investment. President Director PT Papros Barokah Sri Utami also said that the established joint venture will focus on establishing the factory. In the early stages, the plant is prepared to produce non-antibiotic tablets and capsules before going into foreign trial development, such as drugs administered by injection. While waiting for the plant to operate, Sri Utami added that her side will explore export opportunities over the counter drugs OTC that can be sold without prescription. In the meantime, Dr. Win Situ of Medi Myanmar said that the arrival of Papros is very appropriate with the current situation of the pharmaceutical industry in Myanmar, when 90% of the pharmaceutical products are imported from several countries such as India, China, Thailand, South Korea, and Japan. Dr. Wing Situ also believes that the MOU signed by PT Papros will be one of strong foundation in pharmaceutical cooperation between Indonesia and Myanmar. Well, listener, that was Focus Day. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back, listener. Here is news in brief. Indonesian Ulama Council MUI Deputy Secretary General Amir Shah Tambunan condemned politicization of religion practice by certain groups. Special Envoy of the Indonesian President for the Middle East and Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, Dr. Alwi Shihab, during his working visit to Lahore, Pakistan, stated that Indonesia and Pakistan are two friendly countries with strong and productive cooperative foundation in various fields. Sriwijaya Air will officially operate its flight to and from Southeast Maluku Regency as of December 27, 2017. At least five active police and military generals will reportedly run in the upcoming simultaneous regional head elections in 2018. Director of Curriculum, Facility, Institutional and Madrasa Students of Religious Affairs Ministry Ahmad Umar said that next year, the ministry will invite the best students from abroad to study at one of the Islamic educational institutions in Indonesia, namely Madrasah. The Indonesian Stock Exchange stops its activities during the National Christmas Mass Leave today on Tuesday. As many as 9,333 inmates across the country receive remissions at Christmas. Listener, that was News in Brief, our RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. Welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to visit Aceh to see the Jaboy volcano. Stay tuned. In early December, Sabang City in Aceh Province will attract people's attention through Sabang Sale Event 2017. Through the Sale Sabang 2017, the government wants to promote the tourism potential around the city of Sabang, both marine tourism and non-marine. One of the places that can be found while visiting the city of Sabang is the crater of Jaboy Volcano, located in Gampong Jaboy Village. To see the crater of Jaboy Volcano, you must firstly go to Banda Aceh either by land or air transportation to Sultan Iskandar Muda International Airport. From Banda Aceh, you will continue the trip by taxi, Damri bus, motor becak or motor pedicab, which is called Labi-Labi, until reaching Ulelue Port. From Ulelue Port, you can use the ferry to cross the Balohan Port on Weh Island. In one day, there are only three ferry pass from Ulelue to Balohan at 8 a.m., 11 a.m., and 4 p.m. Once you get to Weh Island, the easiest way to get to Jaboy Volcano is to rent a motorcycle with 100,000 rupiah per day. If you take the trip from Sabang City, you have to go to Sukakarya District, which is 15 kilometers away. While if you start from Balohan Port, less than 15 minutes you will reach the Gampong Jaboy Village. You can also use the travel services. Then in the Gampong Jaboy area, you have to continue the journey by walking as far as 200 meters. You will immediately find out Jaboy Volcano when you see an entering gate with caution of welcome and no smoking. In addition, you will find large wooden board containing descriptions of Jaboy Volcano. But you will not see a huge crater like in other volcano, because Jaboy is a very small volcano. The Jaboy volcano is located on Pulau Weh or Weh Island, which is one of the geothermal manifestations. Jaboy crater is formed by geothermal activity under the surface, so that liquid and gas in the earth move upward, such as hydrogen sulfide, sulfur dioxide, hydrogen chloride, carbon dioxide, and others. Mount Jaboy is included an active volcano, but the visitors are still advised to be careful. The visitors can directly see the crater on Jaboy volcano from a very close distance. Not only the crater, visitors can directly foot in the area, affected by hot steam and the sulfur of Jaboy volcano. You will be surrounded by white rocks and dead trees around the crater. Listener, after walking around the crater area of Jaboy volcano, the visitors can relax in a hot bath in Kampong Jaboy. It is the natural hot water. You do not have to worry about the clarity and cleanliness of the water. The water flows from the spring to the pool using a special pipe that can keep the hot temperature and filter out various impurities. In addition, the water is also guaranteed hygiene because the water in the pond flows continuously. It means every time the water in the bathing pool continues to be cleaned. With the clarity and cleanliness of the water, you can soak in the pond while spoiling your eyes with green scenery around the Jaboy Kampong. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Jaboy Volcano in Aceh. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
To speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly, we present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Foreign Broadcasting Station, and the Agency for Language Development, the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Hari Natal, or in English, Christmas Day. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice. You can follow after me. Hari Natal. Hari Natal. In English, Christmas Day. Keluarga. Keluarga. Family. Biasanya. Biasanya. Usually. Pagi hari. Pagi hari. In the morning. Gereja, gereja, church. Berkumpul, berkumpul, gather. Rumah, rumah, home or house. Nenek, nenek, grandmothers. Melakukan, melakukan, to do. Di sana, there. Bertukar kado, bertukar kado. Give exchange. Makan, makan, to eat. Bersama, bersama, together. Tradisi, tradisi, tradition. Rencana, rencana, plan. Libur, libur, holiday. Mengajukan, mengajukan, to propose. Cuti, cuti, leave of absence. Keluar kota, out of town. Next is a conversation on Hari Natar, or in English, Christmas Day. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Diana and Mary at the office. Mary, bagaimana Hari Natal di keluarga kamu? Mary, bagaimana Hari Natal di keluarga kamu? In English, Mary, how is Christmas in your family? Biasanya pagi hari kami ke gereja. Biasanya pagi hari kami ke gereja. Usually we go to church in the morning. Dan kemudian berkumpul di rumah nenek. Dan kemudian berkumpul di rumah nenek. And gather at grandma's. Apa yang dilakukan di sana? Apa yang dilakukan di sana? What would you do there? Di sana kami bertukar kado. Di sana kami bertukar kado. We exchange present or gift there. Kemudian makan bersama. Kemudian makan bersama. Then we eat together. Bagaimana dengan tradisi di keluarga kamu? Bagaimana dengan tradisi di keluarga kamu? How about the tradition in your family? Saya tidak merayakan Natal karena saya Muslim. Saya tidak merayakan Natal karena saya Muslim. I don't celebrate Christmas since I'm a Muslim. Apa rencana kamu pada hari libur Natal? Apa rencana kamu pada hari libur Natal? What is your plan for Christmas holiday? Saya sudah mengajukan cuti. Saya sudah mengajukan cuti. I have applied for a leave. Karena kami sekeluarga akan pergi keluar kota. Karena kami sekeluarga akan pergi keluar kota. Because our family is going out of town. Baiklah, sampai jumpa. Hati-hati di jalan ya. Baiklah, sampai jumpa. Hati-hati di jalan ya. Oke, see you. Be careful on the way. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic, sampai berjumpa lagi. Till we meet again.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present dangdut songs. Stay tuned.
Menderita.
Dangdut singer Hamdan Atete has just dedicated the song entitled Mabuk Judi. This song, which was released in 1987, tells about the negative impact of gambling, which can make miserable. The song Mabuk Judi was composed by Mohtar B. It is one of the 10 songs which included in the album entitled Mabuk Judi. The album is one of Hamdan's solo albums. Supported by Mohtar B as a music stylist, this album sounds easy listening. The song Mabuk Judi managed to become hits among the music lovers. Well, listener, now let's listen to the next song entitled Termiskin di Dunia by Hamdan Atete. Happy listening.
Sebelum terlanjur, pikir-pikirlah dulu. Sebelum engkau menyesal kemudian.
Hamdan At-Tamimi is a senior Indonesian dangdut singer who has been known with his songs of dangdut original genre. Hamdan At-Tamimi started his career in dangdut music at the age of 30. At the time, he entered the first recording with a production of the debut album entitled Petualang Cinta. The second album was released in 1980 with the title Pendusta. While Termiskin di Dunia is the collection of his third album. The third album, with the leading song Termiskin di Dunia, has raised the name of Hamdan At-Tamimi in the dangdut music industry in the country. At that time, the album has sold 1.2 million copies. Composed by himself, the song Termiskin di Dunia likened a struggle in love someone, but blocked by material. He feels himself is the poorest person in the world. In general, this song tells about the love story between the poor and the rich. Like the previous Hamdan songs, the music is original dangdut. Well, listener, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Bekas Pacar and Sepiring Berdua by Hamdan At-Tamimi. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
Juga masih punya perasaan sama seperti dirimu, ingin cinta, ingin kasih, ingin sayang sama juga seperti dirimu.
Masih punya perasaan sama seperti dirimu, ingin cinta, ingin kasih, ingin sayang sama juga seperti dirimu. Masih punya perasaan sama seperti dirimu, ingin cinta, ingin kasih, ingin sayang sama juga seperti dirimu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Kasih
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
ku melihatnya. Bila tiada turun hujan, aku kan datang menyiram agar kau tetap bersami. Aduhai terhibur hati, wahai bunga nusa indah.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.